You are muted.
2022.
You can mute
And this is
or
the regular
unmute
meeting
yourself
of the
by
Ethics
pressing
Commission.
star 6.
In light of Government Code Section 54953E1 and 54953E3, the Governor's Executive Order in 2121, November 10th of 2021, and the Commissioner determinations on May 18th, 2022, this meeting is accessible by telephone. You may listen in by calling area code 213-621-2489. Again, 213-621-2489. You may also provide public comment. All public comment will be taken during agenda item number 2. To provide public comment, please call area code 669-254-5252 or toll free 833-568-8864. Again, those numbers are 669-254-5252 or toll free 833-568-8864. You will then enter meeting ID 161-788-4780 followed by the number or pound key. That's again ID number 161-788-4780 followed by the pound key. Press the pound key again when you are asked for a participant ID. With that, let's get started. This meeting is called to order at 12:06 p.m. Eric Eusebio is our meeting moderator. Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Thank you, President Davis. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and here or present. President Davis.
Davis here.
Vice President Dar.
Commissioner Dar present.
Commissioner Janow.
Commissioner Janow here.
Commissioner Kulkarni.
Commissioner Kulkarni present.
And Commissioner Murray.
Commissioner Murray present.
Thank you, President Davis. All commissioners are present. We may continue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. At this time, we will go on to agenda item number 2. We will take all public comments on agenda items and the general public comment. If you have called the public comment line, please raise your hand to speak by pressing star 9. You will be recognized by our meeting moderator when it is your turn to speak. When you are recognized, please clearly state your name and which agenda item you wish to comment on. As a reminder, the commissioners are not permitted to engage with speakers regarding public comment. Mr. Eusebio, do we have any public comment?
Yes. Caller ending in 719, please state your name and the items you will be speaking on. You will be prompted to unmute.
Greetings. It's Eric Previn calling from Studio City. And what would you like me to do? I would like to speak on the items on your agenda and a general.
Please state the item numbers you'll be speaking on and if you are doing general public comment.
Yes, thank you. So, for example, I'll start by saying thank you to the Ethics Commission for agreeing to meet finally after taking a month off during the election. I know that you had a lot going on, and I'll stipulate to the stipulations. This is not necessarily exciting, but it is good that Mr. Garcia, who was engaged in what we call driving around on the clock, delivering children, doing various personal errands. He's an ITA, troubleshooter, so it didn't seem that outrageous, but he admitted it was outrageous. And I learned that personnel has investigators. That's so interesting. What an interesting idea that the staff have staff to go police the staff. Interesting. Kind of an in-house policing situation. Innovative. Anyway, we've agreed to not a 50% discount because we've got to put something in the kitty. We've only got $5,000 in the bank, and we're already at June. And there's only one more meeting left for you guys at your current rate, or maybe two. But we're giving him a little break down to $3,750. So from $5 to $37.50, it's not the usual 50% off. And segueing quickly to the next one, kudos for getting Becerra, who's a lobbyist from who's working with Raybuild Commercial Services, LLC. Have you tased me, Mr. Chair? Was that button not significant? I'll just keep talking. Okay, fine. Anyway, this one was different. Here you had a lobbyist who took 84 grand from the company over a period, but only declared sort of 440 and got a little confused about her obligations. Was very, very cooperative, and therefore, since 84 grand was already on the table, she is willing to give 10, but hold off on the 10, just make it 50% off and give us 5. So 5 grand from the lobbyist. Not bad. 5 grand from a lobbyist is chump change. But still, I think it's good that we were getting something for our efforts, and I want to applaud the enforcement team for these hard hitters. Good work. And I looked at the thing about the FEC, Federal Election Commission's, disappointment that turns out Caruso can laugh as much as he wants and spend even more and make a mockery of the entire check and balance system we've been putting in place, both for the developer. But I mean, this is just a 100% slap across the face, but it's not your fault, which is a part we love. And getting to the lobbying summary, I did look at it, and let me say this, good work, sort of. I mean, I think it's changed. The report is a little different. It's a little bit, I'm going to have to study it carefully, but you still see the same players rising to the top of the field all the time, Englander, Knobby, and Allen. No relation to Mitchell Englander, the nephew of the owner at Englander, Knobby, and Allen, other than that relationship and the brother, the cousin, or whatever. Anyway, the point is that they're at the top, as usual, and they've got a new component, which I thought was very, very interesting. I've seen it for a couple of years now, that in order to keep things under a million, say, for a quarter, what they do is they are clients themselves. We're paying over $200,000 to lobby. So now...
Caller, your time please. Has expired. If we can wrap things up here.
I think that thank was... Thank you so much. Thank you for your calls and your comment. Mr. Suvia.
Thank you. Next caller, ending in 404, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. I'd like to speak on general public comment. I'd like to speak on 8, and I'd like to speak on 11.
Perfect. You may begin. Thank you.
Sure. My name is Jamie York. I'm speaking as an individual. I'm really disappointed with the FEC versus Cruz versus for Senate decision, obviously. I think that it's going to have a very bad effect on democracy, but I don't think that the commission should just sort of give in. I think that there are things that we can do to mitigate some of the damaging effects of this. As you may be aware, basically, like, after E-Day, the reporting requirements really slow down. I believe it's just semi-annual reporting requirements after that. I think given this decision and given the effect that it could basically have on fundraising after the fundraising date, I think that it would be prudent to have those that win their elections or move forward, I think that there should be additional reporting requirements so that we can see where the money is coming from. Because I think it kind of creates a perverse incentive for those who are wealthy to then go donation shopping after the fact. And the public deserves to have timely access to that information. And timely access to that information would not be in conflict with the rulings of FEC versus Cruz for Senate. I also think that, you know, there are things that we could say in regards to matching funds with regards to whether or not they're allowed to do this kind of after-the-fact shopping for donations. I think that's another avenue that would perhaps be something that the commission could discuss. What I don't want to see is that we create a situation where those who are wealthy and who could afford to loan themselves money to run then do not have the scrutiny that candidates who are not wealthy have when it comes to looking at their donations. Voters deserve to be informed, and this terrible decision by the Supreme Court doesn't help with that, but I think that there are things that we can do to mitigate at least some of those impacts, and that's something that I'd really want to recommend. I also just want to commend the staff for their lobbying summary report. A lot of really good information. I really enjoyed looking through it. Like, one of the things that my neighborhood council has been looking at is some of the street furniture programs, so it's always really interesting to see the lobbying money that's being spent by different corporations that essentially want those contracts and that are interested in those council files. I find that information really invaluable and really informative, and I just really like the work that's being done here that allows neighborhood councils and neighborhood council members like myself to make better decisions because you have good quality info out there. So thank you.
Thank you. Caller ending in 208. Please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, it's Rob Kwan. I'd like to speak on items 8, 10, 11, and general public comment.
Thank you. You may begin.
How much time do I have?
3 minutes.
Thank you. You know, I just want to say it's disappointing to see this resolution presented without any context on the implications or, you know, what additional steps this commission should take. You know, your hands might be tied by the Supreme Court, but there's no reason that you should just throw your hands up in the air. As has been said, post-election fundraising information is extremely limited. 24-hour reporting requirements end on E-Day. You know, this is information that voters are not going to be able to see when they vote. The least you can do is ensure the public has this information for when appointments are made and contracts are secured. For example, Garcetti, when he was elected in 2013, the LA Times found in the 3 months after he was elected, two-thirds of the people he appointed in the first 3 months were donors and supporters. Some of that information might not be available this time around. Rick Caruso loaned $40 million to his campaign. Beyond that, Faisal Gill, the leading candidate for city attorney who I personally voted for, has loaned his campaign over $1 million. And as you know, the city attorney has all kinds of discretion in securing contracts for outside counsel. I think it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense to add at least a couple additional fundraising reporting periods for winning candidates, one that runs through December 1st and then through February 1st. You've already got one that runs through the end of December. To move on, I just want to say on the lobbying summary, I will always be annoyed that you sent a half-baked proposal to council. You had 2 years since its expiration to discuss the item, and then you swiftly shoot it through in one meeting. You had this nonprofit exemption thrown in there with none of the context the commission staff provided in 2017, which is weird, because you specifically in 2017 cited that San Francisco has a $250,000 threshold. We had zero discussion or presentation around the exemption of bids, which is its own mess. My time is running out, so I just want to pivot to charter reform, something I was really elated to see you discuss. But I think it's headed in the wrong direction because you just kind of completely missed the ball. There's a clear desire from the commission to gain power, but very little to actually ensure independence. The pressure from elected officials on you will only increase if you have more power. And it was really disappointing to see that in your discussion points, there was nothing in there on ensuring that commissioners were no longer appointed by elected officials. A basic fundamental thing that you have to do to actually have an independent ethics commission. So I really hope you don't shoo that through in one quick meeting this time around. And I also want to just say on the enforcement point, one of your commissioners got very huffy with me. I'll note that he is a former candidate who probably shouldn't be able to be on this commission. You know, got really huffy with me for bringing up delayed enforcement or non-existent enforcement. Look at this cycle with Cedillo. You did nothing in 2017 with him doing, you know, violating ethics laws. Engaged in electioneering from his official city social media account 3 times. He used his official city title and seal on a campaign mailer, blew past multiple 24-hour communication disclosure requirements, skirted the debate requirement to get the matching funds, and then you allowed him to put together a sham debate for matching funds. My time has expired, and that's not the end of it. There are multiple elected officials who had endless numbers of problems, and they have zero respect for you. So I just want to say, like, we can look back to other cycles. 2020, there are a number of things I've brought up before.
Caller, your time has expired. Thank you for your public comment. There are no more public comments. President Davis, we may continue.
Thank you, Mr. Eusebio. I appreciate that. This will conclude our public comment period. Thank you to all who spoke. We appreciate your participation and we appreciate your comments. We'll now go on to the approval of the minutes for both meetings, April 20th and May 18th, 2022. As there may have been different attendees at each of those, we will separate these out this time. I am looking for an approval of the minutes for April 20th of 2022. Is there anyone who would move for that approval?
So moved. Commissioner Murray.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Having none, Mr. Eusebio, would you call the roll?
Yes, this is for the first vote on the approval of the minutes. This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on April 20, 2022. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have five yeses, and the motion is approved. For the second vote, this vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on May 18, 2022. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion.
Mr. Eusebio, I believe right now we do need a motion for this set of minutes. So is there a motion?
Janelle will move.
Commissioner Dar, second.
Okay. Back to you, Mr. Eusebio. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
I apologize. this vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on May 18, 2022. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray abstain.
We have four yeses and one abstention. The motion is approved.
We'll now go on to the possible discussion with authorized neighborhood council representatives. Mr. Eusebio, have we received any resolutions or community impact statements that have been filed for this meeting?
President Davis, the Ethics Commission has not received a copy of any community impact statement.
Thank you. We'll then go on to our action items. First, we're action item number five, which is the proposed stipulation in case number 2022-4 in the matter of Jamie Garcia for alleged misuse of city position. The item number five is the first of two proposed stipulations today. I'd like to ask our Director of Enforcement, Ken Hardy, to present on this item. Mr. Hardy, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Davis and members of the Ethics Commission. This case involves allegations that Jaime Garcia misused his city position to create a private advantage for himself, namely that he submitted payroll records that falsely reflected that he was performing work duties when in fact he was not. The recommended penalty in this case is $3,750. We note that the following mitigating circumstances exist in this case. Mr. Garcia cooperated with the investigators, which of course saved the Ethics Commission significant resources. He has no prior enforcement history with the Ethics Commission. And also notably, Mr. Garcia did forfeit some compensation time through the through the other city actions in this matter, and he's also no longer working for the City of Los Angeles. So we took that into consideration as well. We believe that the $3,750 stipulated settlement is a fair and appropriate settlement in this case. I'll be happy to answer any questions in this matter. Thank you.
Commissioners, would you do you have any questions for Mr. Hardy or the enforcement team? Seeing none, I'll entertain the motion to approve the stipulation.
So moved. Commissioner
Colgrenny, second.
Is there any discussion, commissioners? Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation in case number 2022-02 in the matter of Jamie Garcia. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcarney?
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have five yeses and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Mr. Hardy will stay with us for proposed stipulation in case number 2021-12 in the matter of Veronica Bracera and Rabeld Commercial Services, LLC, for the alleged failure to register and report as a lobbying entity. This is also a proposed stipulation. Mr. Hardy, if you would please tell us about this one.
Thank you, President Davis. Yes, this case involves allegations that Veronica Becerra and Rebuild Commercial Services failed to accurately report lobbying activities, as well as Ms. Becerra failing to timely register as a lobbyist. Some minimal details in this case. Ms. Becerra is the managing member and only employee of Rebuild, a consulting firm that provides its clients with a range of services related to, among other things, discretionary approvals associated with land use entitlements. Ms. Becerra qualified as a lobbyist and Raybuild qualified as a lobbying firm in the first quarter of 2021. As a result, Ms. Becerra was required to register herself and Raybuild by April 10th of 2021. She registered Raybuild as a lobbying firm, but she failed to register herself as an individual lobbyist. We recommend resolving this case by approving by the approval of the proposed stipulation of $5,000. We note that Ms. Becerra and Raybuild cooperated with the investigation. We also note that there's no prior enforcement history in this matter, and there's no evidence of a deliberate violation. I'll be happy to answer any questions in this matter. Thank you.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Hardy? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Commissioner Murray.
Is there a second?
Janelle.
Janelle, very good. Thank you. Commissioners, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation in case number 2021-12 in the matter of Veronica Becerra and Raybuild Commercial Services, LLC. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcarney?
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have five yeses and the motion is approved.
We'll now move on to item number seven, which is a review of the recusals of Edward Renwick, the Vice President of the Board of Harbor Commissioners. We'll now ask Tyler Joseph, our policy director, to present on this item.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Tyler Joseph. I'm the policy director with the Ethics Commission, and this is item number 7. This is a review of the recusals of Mr. Edward Renwick, who is the vice president of the Board of Harbor Commissioners. Mr. Renwick has been on that board since November of 2013, and his current term, I believe, is actually set to expire at the end of this month. He has been the subject of 4 previous recusal reviews. One of those was an information item, and the others were action items where, in each case, the Ethics Commission found that his recusals were not significant in terms of number or impact. And during this particular review period, Vice President Renwick recused himself 12 times. And of those 12 recusals, 9 were related to a relationship that the commissioner has with a party involved in litigation with the port. This is a single lawsuit that's been going on for a while now. It's been the source of Mr. Renwick's previous recusal reviews. In this case, all 9 of those items concerning the litigation were informal discussions that took place during closed session. No formal action was taken in any of those instances. And the 3 remaining items were all approved unanimously in his absence. The Harbor Commission staff does expect that litigation will continue, but as with the previous reviews, we don't believe that Mr. Renwick's recusals here were significant in number or impact. So on that basis, we are again recommending that no divestment be ordered and that you adopt the resolution in Attachment A for that purpose. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Joseph? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Commissioner Colcrony, I make the motion.
Is there a second?
Commissioner, I'll second the motion to adopt this the Attachment A resolution of not finding any continuing conflict of interest or need for divestiture.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion, commissioners? The motion and the second. Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll for a vote?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to adopt the resolution in Attachment A to find that Vice President Renwick does not have a significant and continuing conflict of interest at this time. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcarney?
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yeses and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Mr. Joseph, thank you. You're going to stay with us for item number 8, which is the resolution regarding the effect of the Federal Elections Commission versus Cruz for Senate on the Los Angeles Municipal Code, section 49.7.9E. Mr. Joseph, if you would please present.
All right. So item 8, this is an item about FEC versus Cruz for Senate, and that is a recent Supreme Court case that struck down certain limits on the ability of candidates to repay loans that they made to their own campaign, including limits that use on the use of funds that they raised after the election. And the city has a law in the campaign finance ordinance that's similar to what the court struck down in this case, and because of the similarities here, a legal challenge to our provision in the CFO would likely fall within the scope of that decision. So as a result, it would be difficult to defend under this new precedent. And as you know, part of the Ethics Commission's duties include making recommendations to the City Council about the campaign finance laws. Those most commonly are recommendations about new laws, but in cases like this, it can also include recommendations to repeal or to suspend the enforcement of laws. So for that reason, we've prepared for you the resolution here in item number 8. And approving this recommendation would do 3 things. It would, 1, temporarily suspend the enforcement of the CFO provision in question. 2, it would let potentially impacted candidates and office holders know about the commission's decision to suspend enforcement. And 3, it would request that the city council the City Council officially repeal that provision. So as of right now, this will have no impact on the limits that apply to candidates participating in the matching funds program. Because that program is voluntary, we're confident that we'll be able to proceed with those limits as we have been. But to address the public comments that we've gotten, you know, on this item that you just heard a few minutes ago, it's true that this does not prevent the commission from taking additional action on this in the future. There are some options that we could bring back to the commission on additional disclosure, on post-election fundraising, and things like that, if that's what you'd like to hear. So this is not the end of the road here. It was simply important for us to get this resolution out to the candidates as soon as possible in the wake of this becoming binding precedent. So as I mentioned, due to the similarities between the city's law and the one that was struck down by the court in this particular case, we are recommending that you adopt this resolution today.
Thank Davis, you. I would like to add a couple of other things to what Tyler mentioned. In terms of the questions the public had, as Tyler mentioned, this does not apply to matching funds candidates. They would still be subject to this since they voluntarily agreed to the restrictions that we have on their loan amounts for the program. In addition, in terms of the current disclosure, the commenter spoke specifically about two particular races. In those races that are likely to go into the runoff, there would be quite a substantial amount of disclosure. Those candidates would be disclosing campaign activity in August, September, October, November, and January of 2023. So in terms of the immediacy of this particular election, there, I think it, at least in terms of disclosure, there would be a way to address that. But as Tyler said, if this is something that you want us to revisit in terms of what additional possible disclosure we could have in situations where there are not runoff elections and you would want additional disclosure for these types of situations, we'd be more than glad to do that.
Thank you, Executive Director David Tristan. So folks on the phone know who was speaking, although we all know who you are. But appreciate the context from both you and Mr. Joseph. I'm turning to the commissioners to get a sense of any further discussion, questions, or if you'd like to take up the offer to explore additional. Looking for hands if someone has something they'd like to add. Vice President Dar.
So, this was like from a position of my personal view, would I have liked to have seen the Supreme Court take different action? Yes. In the context of what's limited today on our agenda as to the resolution, it's unfortunate, but I do support the resolution because I do believe that we're not doing a service to anyone in light of the pretty clear mandate of the U.S. Supreme Court case on basically the same points. Having said that, this is an ordinance. We do have, as a commission, the ability to make recommendations. We don't have the ability to change the city laws and ordinances on this specific point, but we can certainly make recommendations at Ethics Commission. And while it's not agendized for today, I would support agendizing this for, if possible, the next meeting or some meeting thereafter soon, just so we could explore other options. But that's a different path than what we have today, which I unfortunately need to support, because I don't believe also would be a good use of city resources or making candidates take positions on something that pretty much has been spoken for by the U.S. Supreme Court and therefore tying our hands. So just want to make clear my views and also strong request for agendizing, looking into other options moving forward.
Are there other comments from commissioners? Seeing none. Mr. Tristan and Mr. Joseph, if you would be kind enough to put this on a future agenda with options for exploration, per the request of Vice President Dar, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much.
Commissioners, if I'm seeing no other comments or questions, I will entertain a motion as it now stands on the recommendation.
Commissioner Janelle, I'll move.
Second.
Commissioner Colcorni, I second.
All right. Is there any further conversation or discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the adoption of the resolution regarding the effect of Federal Election Commission v. Cruz for Senate on Los Angeles Municipal Code Section 49.7.9e. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcorni?
Commissioner Colcorni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, no.
We have four yeses and one no, and the motion is approved.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Joseph, for your presentations today. We'll now move on to agenda item number 9. This is the finding to continue teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. Our final action is today for that purpose. The agenda addresses the recommended determination. Is there a motion for the continuation of the teleconference meeting?
I'll move, Janelle.
Is there a second?
Mr. Dar will second. At proper time, I do have a question.
So, with that, it is now open for the discussion, but I'm going to preempt you, Jeff. David, what's the status on us getting back to person at City Hall?
No update, commissioners. We have not heard any changes to what the current status is.
Right. Vice President Dar, do you have any other questions?
That was my question, so thank you for asking.
We got the
I think I knew
now.
The answer, but I wasn't sure because things may change on a moment-by-moment basis. So
I will absolutely let you know as soon as we hear that there's a change. I think the main issue is really providing access to the public on the 10th floor commission meeting rooms in a way where they can access the meetings, but also the ability to provide the public to communicate with us electronically, either through audio or video. And I think until that issue is probably addressed in some way, we will continue like this. But like I said, I will notify you immediately as soon as we hear something.
Thank you, Director Piston. Very much appreciated. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, is there a motion for approval to adopt the recommendation?
Commissioner Colcorni, I make the motion to adopt the recommendation.
Is there a second?
Janelle will second.
No additional comments I'm seeing. So, Mr. Eusebio, if you would please call the roll.
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve continuation of teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcorni?
Commissioner Colcorni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray abstain.
We have four yeses and one abstention. The motion is approved.
Well, this concludes our action items for today. We will now move on to the information items on the agenda. Number 10, which is the election updates for the regular 2022 city and LA Unified School District elections. Mr. Joseph, I understand you're handling this item today. Would you please summarize the election information for us?
I am, yes. Thank you. So item number 10 is the election update. I'm filling in for Blanca today. The big update, of course, is that we had one. And Blanca and Diana and everyone who worked on all the matching funds claims did a ton of great work to help that go smoothly. I've got a couple of highlights here, starting with the fact that we had 163 candidates who filed their fundraising paperwork. 65 of them completed the process to appear on the ballot. We still have some votes outstanding, but right now it looks like we're going to have 5 races that were won outright and 9 that are going to move on to the general election. And the city clerk has 30 days to certify the final results of the election, so we'll know a little bit more about that shortly. On the financial front, our most recent reporting period, which covered the activity between May 22nd and June 1st, had candidates and their committees reporting more than $66 million in contributions and making expenditures that were over $71 million in total. And the next reporting deadline for all candidates, or I'm sorry, for all committees is August 1st. And on the matching funds front, of the 55 candidates who made it on the ballot, 51 of them agreed to participate. So we had a great participation rate there. Among the 34 who qualified to receive matching funds, we were able to distribute a total of about $8.5 million in public matching funds. We also had over 4,300 campaign communications filed with our office, including a bit over 1,200 for the mayoral race. And last but not least, we saw over $16 million spent on independent expenditures in connection with this election. And out of $16 million, about $6 million was spent on the mayoral race. So we had a lot of big spending there as well. And that's everything I've got. So if you've got any questions, I'd be happy to attempt to answer them.
Mr. Starr has a quick question.
Oh. Please, no.
Oh, okay. Only if you have this at your relatively so-called fingertips, Tyler. Do we have a comparison as to the amount of matching funds that are distributed in the last primary in 2020 for the city?
I don't have that, but we can get that to you very easily.
Okay.
And David, if you have something to add on that, I don't know if you have that.
I don't have that in terms of the number, Commissioner, but we will be putting together some data for presentation in a coming meeting to show you the differences in terms of not just money, but also the amounts of contributions. Given the lower threshold and the substantial number of smaller donor contributions, the volume was substantial this election. I can tell you in terms of the elections that I've been in, just the volume of number of contributions was felt completely over the top, because it required, at some point, we had more than half of the staff working on matching funds in order to get that money out. So we will be presenting that to you at a coming meeting with some context for the numbers, the data, and also potentially a dashboard that will provide a little bit more detail on with the contributions that are under $100.
Thank you.
I could add, this is Deputy Executive Director Heather Holt. I would just add that our website, according to our website, just under $2 million in matching funds was distributed in the 2020 elections. But as David said, we'll provide more details, more specific data at a future date.
Which is what I sort of thought. This is a huge number for us, which is great from my personal view. Thank you.
I would echo that on behalf of the commission. Thanks to the entire staff for your work on making sure the matching funds program is a success and is used in the way that it was intended, and appreciate all the effort that went in with the rule changes. And we look forward to the presentation as to how that worked and hearing where we stand. I'm particularly interested in hearing where we stand financially as far as the matching funds program. I don't think we've emptied the well, but it sounds like we put a big dent in it. So I'm looking forward to hearing that at a future meeting. Thank you again, Mr. Joseph, for presenting on that. We'll now change over to agenda item number 11, which is the lobbying summary for the first quarter of 2022. Kiana Allison-Farr, our lobbying program manager. Ms. Allison-Farr, would you please summarize the item for us? Sorry, I'm still stuck on the massive numbers of matching gifts.
Sure, no problem. Good afternoon, commissioners. So for this item number 11, we have a summary of the lobbying activity that took place in the first quarter of this year, as reported by all the lobbying entities. So in the last quarter, we received reports that lobbying firms received a total of $15.2 million in payments from their clients, and this amount marks a 13% decrease compared to the last quarter of 2021. We have a list of the top 10 highest paid firms of this last quarter, which together comprise roughly 41% of all of the reported payments reported by all lobbying firms during the quarter. Of these top 10 highest paid firms, eight were also part of the top 10 list for the last quarter, Q4 2021, and six of them were also in the top 10 list for the first quarter of last year as well. Lobbying entities reported making roughly $132,000 in fundraising activity, $6,500 in direct contributions, and roughly $39,000 in delivered contributions. These amounts also indicate a decrease compared to the last quarter of 2021. And then lastly, we received major filer reports of roughly $90,000, which also marks a decrease compared to the last quarter. That concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments on the lobbying summary? Thank you for your presentation. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
We'll now go on to item number 12, which is the recusal summary for first quarter of 2022. Samantha Rodriguez is our ethics program manager. Ms. Rodriguez, would you please present a summary for us of the recusal?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Item 12 before you presents a summary of the board and commission members who reported recusing themselves during the first quarter of 2022. During the first quarter, there were a total of 9 recusals reported. The recusals affected 3 boards and commissions and resulted in the need for 1 new review to take place. More details of the summary are included in your binders, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Are there any questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. We're going to stay with you for a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest.
Item 13 before you is a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council for approval since our last commission meeting. Since our last meeting during the April 2022 and the May 2022 period, there were a total of 3 nominees whose pre-confirmation SEIs were filed and then subsequently transmitted by us to City Council. All 3 of these transmittals were first-time appointments to the respective boards or commissions. The details of these transmittals are in your binders, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions or comments on the pre-confirmation statement? Thank you so much for presenting, Ms. Rodriguez. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Because he just can't seem to stay away, we're going to welcome back again Mr. Joseph, who's going to tell us about policy and legislation updates.
All right. Thank you very much. Last one. We'll keep this brief. We have another recusal review coming up at our August meeting. We also have transmitted the lobbying ordinance that the commission worked so hard on over the last couple of years and approved at our last meeting. And since that time, our GEO team has also transmitted another updated conflict of interest code. This one was for the Bureau of Street Services. And going forward, we will certainly keep everyone up to date as soon as we have any new information on the movement of the lobbying proposal. We'll be following up on that, and we will let you know as soon as we hear anything. So if you have any questions, then please let me know.
Are there any questions for Mr. Joseph on our policy or the legislation update?
And this is Commissioner Dar. I could do this at the very end. I just wanted to just advise the commissioners that the committee on looking at possible charter reform, which is myself and Commissioner Janot, we anticipate having recommendations to the commission for consideration at the August meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we now change to item 15, the executive director report, and we welcome David Tristan for that report.
Good afternoon, commissioners, again. I will focus my comments on two issues. One, the budget that was finalized. We had a good budget year, one of the best budget years we've had. We ultimately ended up with five permanent positions, three of which are new, two are which existing, and a couple of reclassifications for positions that we had. But ultimately, what it will mean for us will be ensuring that two of the positions we'll have will be permanent, and we won't have to request budget coverage for those, and we will be hiring three new investigator positions. So that is great news. The other would be that this is Melinda's last meeting with us, and I wanted to make sure that I conveyed the staff's appreciation for the time that Melinda committed to the commission and to the citizens of Los Angeles. Melinda will have served nearly 7 years with us, longer than many of our staff. And through that time, Melinda has been extremely active on some of our most critical legislative issues. But what I will always be thankful for is her continued support of the staff and commitment to the work that we do. I know it's extremely hard as commissioners to show up, you know, every couple of months and see the work that we do and feel comfortable and what the staff is doing. And Melinda has been a commissioner that has had great trust in us. I know we've earned it, but she's been somebody that has been extremely supportive of us through challenging times. And I will be forever grateful to her for that. And so, again, I wanted to make sure that we thanked her for her time with us. And I will miss our, you know, our after commission meeting chats and debriefs. Those were always great to spend, you know, some time with her that unfortunately due to COVID changed these last years. But those were one of the nicer moments to be able to get to spend time with Melinda and see her passion for the work that we do. So thank you, Melinda. I really appreciate that. And I know Heather wanted to provide some comments also, given that she was here during her entire tenure.
Yes, thank you, David, for allowing me to speak. But I wanted to add my thanks and appreciation. Melinda, it has been a joy to work with you, and the agency as a whole has definitely benefited and improved as a result of your leadership and wisdom. And you have been a huge support to me when I was the executive director, and it really meant the world. So I am very sorry to see you go. It is a privilege to know you, and I wish you all the very best as you move forward.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Mr. Tristan, do you have anything else to report?
No, I want to end on a good note.
If Mr. Dar can say something for one.
Well, we are going to roll into that with item number 16, which is the commissioner announcement and request to schedule items on future agendas. But we will start by continuing where the last agenda item left off. And Commissioner Dar, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you very much, President Davis. I just wanted to say, Melinda, it's been a really great pleasure to have the ability to work with you the past 2 years. The only irony to all of this is that we never got to meet in person as a commission during my time with you. I did get the pleasure of working with you on the committee on the municipal lobbying ordinance, so we got at least some extra time in, but again, all virtual. But thank you very much for all of your leadership. When I came on the commission, you know, even though it was the middle of the height of COVID, you were very welcoming and helpful and supportive. So I just wanted to thank you and thank you for your 7 years of service on the Ethics Commission. I know before I got the Ethics Commission of your work, and so it's just been very honor for me to be able to work with you, and sad to see you go, but it's unfortunately the way the city world works. But thank you again. It's been wonderful to be with you.
I'm going to follow up and take the personal privilege of saying goodbye to Melinda Murray. You know, or farewell or aloha or whatever means they keep coming back in some form or fashion. Melinda and I have known each other since law school days at UCLA, and what a treat to to have come on to the commission and to have followed her and her wonderful example of the presidency. She had some issues working the buzzer, but, you know, and I'm sorry that, Melinda, I was never able to in person demonstrate my abilities to do that for you. Thank you, Mr. Eusebio, for assuming that, but I would have handled it just as well. I just can't say enough about the work that you've done, the inspiration that you've been during what hasn't always been easy times for you, and it is just remarkable your level of dedication, service, and commitment to the process, to the Ethics Commission, and to the city. And your public service obviously continues in your professional capacity, but I'm sure we'll see you in other roles down the road, and wishing you nothing but the best, and thank you for all you've done. It is so appreciated. So with that,
the
floor is yours. Go ahead.
Piggyback on that? President Davis, just want to express my appreciation and gratitude, Commissioner Murray, for all of your work, your leadership on the commission, and really you've served as a role model for those of us who joined more recently. I, too, am sorry that I didn't get a chance to meet you in person, but hoping as COVID lifts, crossing our fingers that perhaps I can take you out for coffee and just share in person my gratitude for all of your work and again for your leadership, really. And I just want to say too that you're a role model for so many young women out there who are looking to, you know, really see what leadership looks like in our city and in our region, and for that I want to thank you as well.
And I will just piggyback and say, please enjoy your extra time. Thank you again.
Thank you, everybody. It's been my pleasure to serve on the commission for so long. I didn't know anything about Ethics Log when I joined, and David and Heather were so welcoming, and we did have fun. We used to have a debrief after the meetings over coffee, and it really, I got to know them quite well. It's unfortunate that I haven't met some of the recent commissioners. I think I met Commissioner Janelle for 1 second, and by the time we were scheduling a lunch, COVID had hit, so we weren't able to do that in person. But it's been my pleasure working with you, working with the staff. I remember Tyler when he was just a little puppy, and now look at him. He's all grown. Yupsie. So I'm very proud of the work he's done. I am proud of the work I've done with the commission on matching funds, the MLO, the developer ban, all that good stuff. I also want to thank our city attorney, Renee Stottel, who has been a steady ship guiding the commission. So thank you, Renee. And again, the staff, there's been a lot of staff turnover, but I got to know, before COVID hit, I got to know the staff better. Shout out to Nancy also, and Blanca, and you guys have been really terrific. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you. I will be following what's going on, and we don't have to, am I officially off the commission? We don't have to bow down to what the Supreme Court is doing if we don't agree with it. That's my last little controversial two cents. So on that note, I want to thank you all, and my gardener's outside. That's why I'm doing all these weird movements. So he was supposed to be here. Anyway, so that's why these Zoom meetings are no fun. I can't wait till we are able to meet in person. So again, thank you so much to everybody, and farewell. Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. Very much appreciated.
Commissioner Davis, I did have one last comment. As I mentioned, Melinda has served for the commission, with the commission for many years, and I did communicate with council to have them create a commendation for Melinda, which Jordan will be doing our Vanna White today and sharing the resolution and what it looks like for Melinda, and we will be providing that to her. It is something that was put together by her appointing authority, and it covers and details all the great work that Melinda did for us. So congratulations, Melinda.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that, Jordan. Appreciate you're doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
We can't see it, but there's obviously a huge amount of text on that proclamation for the city, which is...
and a lot of color.
And a testament. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tristan, for adding that in. And again, thank you, Melinda. With that, we now come to adjournment. That's going to conclude our meeting. I would like to thank our fellow commission, my fellow commissioners, the staff and the public for your input and participation today. Very much appreciated. Be well, Melinda Murray. Come back, make public comment whenever you want. We look forward to it. And with that, yes, there's your certificate, which they're going to get to you. Thank you, George. We're good now. We're going to adjourn this thing at 1:05 p.m. Thank you all. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting is concluded.
Goodbye.